Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman, and joining me, Diane Brady with Bloomberg Businessweek and Cardiff Garcia with the Financial Times. And this morning, we're looking at a summer smackdown in the world of business. In smackdown number one, Rupert Murdoch. He offered $80 billion to buy Time Warner. And even though Time Warner rejected his offer, everyone seemed to agree that it was just a matter of time before Murdoch got his way. Instead, he walked away. So are we seeing kind of the sunset of Murdoch's ability to get whatever he wants whenever he wants it?
I don't think so. I think he's got exquisite timing. I mean, even his announcement was right before they were about to have pretty good earnings. So basically for him to come out and tell shareholders your board won't cooperate, I just think it's kind of sticking it to Jeff Bukas. I don't think it's a loss for him. I think it was a deal that was always very unlikely to go through. If nothing else, it would have gotten in the crosshairs of regulators. So I think he may be back, and he may not get the whole thing, but I'm sure parts of it he'll care about.
My sense of it is that he's not coming back. I mean, this was interesting in that, in a sense, Murdoch smacked himself down in a way. But I think Diane's right about something, which is that everybody got a little bit ahead of themselves on the possibility that this deal would actually go through. It was going to be a very complicated deal. It was going to require a lot of debt financing for it to go through. And it was a big proposed merger. So I think people got a little bit ahead of themselves, and I think the fact that he never indicated that he would want to go hostile, that he would want to be really aggressive about it, and that when he gingerly stepped away and his CFO said on a conference call, we're done, we're not going after this company, I think that suggests that it's over.
And, you know, the thing that's interesting is this would never have come up if you didn't have a billionaire in charge of a company. Basically, this guy's a dictator. This is not a public company in the common sense of the term, which is if he had a board that was looking, you know, judiciously doing due diligence on Time Warner. Time Warner would not be a great takeover candidate right now. They've got rid of Time Inc. You know, they're really sort of they're doing very well. It's not something that's broken that needs to be fixed. Only Rupert Murdoch could come out with this kind of deal because nobody could say no. It's only when the reality hit him, shareholders, Time Warner, he had to back away.
Smackdown number two, Wall Street banks. Okay, we learned this week from the Federal Reserve and the FDIC that they rejected the plans that the 11 of the largest banks had put out there for how they would handle filing for bankruptcy if they got into trouble. You know, that one of the comments was that their assumptions were unrealistic and inadequately supported. I mean, basically saying too big to fail is alive and well. Yes?
I think what I took from this was that they're still trying to keep some heat on the banks. And so can you plan for a future crisis? I've always thought that's a bit of a dubious proposition because the next one will not look like the one we just had. Are they too big to fail? Technically, banks are a lot bigger now. The largest banks in the country are.
So is this a fool's errand then, even asking the banks to try and figure out how they could do this?
No, I don't think so. Go ahead.
I was going to say I still think it's a worthwhile effort. I think too big to fail is still there. I just think it's less likely that any large bank is going to fail in the short to medium term. That being said, it's clear, Diane's right, that the regulators have been getting increasingly aggressive, increasingly confident. And this is their way of saying, listen, you can't just toss this off to a few lackeys to write and then send to us. You've got to be serious about this. And if not, in a year's time, which is the deadline for this, there's going to be consequences.
So the process itself is actually making the banks somewhat safer, even if they may not necessarily pass the test that the regulators have set up?
The banks are better. Let's put it this way. The banks are stronger than they were before. They have more capital. They do less leverage. They've gotten rid of certain operations. The reality is they've got a big, huge gift that's going away, and that's the gift of lots of money at 0% interest rates.
Thanks
that
to
a
the
lot
Federal
of
Reserve.
Them were making. If you look at J.P. Morgan Chase, I mean, they're making margins of 80%. They take the money. They turn around. They lend it. That's not normal, and that's going away. And that's, I think, one of the causes of concern is, are these banks going to be strong enough? They're certainly not going to have that kind of profit.
And there's good reason not to trust the banks, by the way. This isn't the first time that the banks
Skeptic.
Have submitted. Yeah, well, but this is, I mean, look at each time these banks submit their responses to the stress test, right? I mean, just last year, J.P. Morgan submitted one that said that they would lose no money in a really adverse scenario. The Fed said they would probably lose a cumulative $33 billion, right? And they had to bridge that gap, right? And so this is something where the regulators still need to be mindful. They still need to be cautious. And I'm glad they're getting aggressive. impressive.
SmackDown number 3, tax inversions. Okay, this one has gotten a lot of attention recently.
Tax inversions.
Well, this is U.S. companies buying foreign ones and then changing their headquarters overseas to try and get lower income taxes. And I guess you could call the SmackDown a self-SmackDown. Walgreens has decided that even though they're going to go ahead and buy this European pharmacy Alliance Boots, they're not going to shift their headquarters to Switzerland and take advantage of this. So what do we make of this?
Well, first of all, if you actually look at Walgreens, I think they figured out they didn't really qualify for the kind of inversion they thought they were going to get. I mean, rhetoric is everything on these things. Very few companies actually admit, by the way, I'm going over to Europe as a tax dodge, and very few companies back out of that.
But some of them have recently.
Yeah, they have. And I think what's interesting is the fact that in Walgreens' case, there's public shaming. That probably has an impact. But very few companies act on public shaming alone, especially when they've got shareholders who really want you to go somewhere to get lower tax rates.
Yeah, it's still too early to tell if this is a turning point, but it is the first example of a large company saying explicitly, we're worried about the PR and legislative backlash, and we're not going to do it.
Some of it, though, could be the fear that government contracts might not come to Walgreens. I mean, a lot of the drugs that you buy at Walgreens.
Yeah, and they've got a certain amount of exposure to business with the government through Medicare reimbursements. And they also have, you know, the problem of point of contact. They interact directly with customers, and so they need to keep up, you know, a healthy image. The extent to which other companies have seen this and are paying attention is a little bit tougher to say. I'm not hugely optimistic that Congress is going to arrive at a legislative fix here, and I'm not exactly sure how far the president's going to go on it. So I think it's a really kind of an unclear outlook for whether or not this is going to continue.
Well, finally, in this short amount of time we have left, what are some of the other stories that you're paying attention to, Cardiff?
I'm looking for any anecdotal evidence that wages are starting to climb. This is a huge deal right now. People are trying to find out when wage growth will catch up to the recent improvement in the labor market.
Diane?
I'm planning to ask my boss for a raise so that I can be an anecdote card story. but other than that, I'm looking at Cinnabon is doing an interesting brand extension like Taco Bell. They're trying to go upscale in part by starting a new chain. I'm looking at that, some cool apps, and hoping to get a bit of a break.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org. Don't forget, you can take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Cardiff Garcia with the Financial Times and Diane Brady with Bloomberg Businessweek. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.